to our misguided? Are they lost sheep? If we shun them, how can we maintain our unity?
Well, they're not lost sheep. They're sick sheep. Mm-hmm. And the shepherd cuts them out immediately before the disease goes through and destroys the entire flock.
I've heard some people say, wouldn't it be wiser to try and woo them back from their mistaken ideas? Maybe they just don't understand. If we want a united world body, shouldn't we make an effort to get them back?
Sounds familiar. Or maybe they'll say, but I know so-and-so personally. I'm sure he'd listen to me. Perhaps nobody's approached him in just the right way yet. Is this what you mean?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you say to them?
Pretty much what you've been saying just now. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll be a lot stronger in the future.
Good.
Well, I think I, at least, have really learned how vitally important it is for the friends to understand the nature and greatness of the covenant. Once they do, they'll realize the appalling nature of any association with the covenant breakers. And they'll know better just how to deal with them.
That's the secret. And as to the question of unity in the faith, I suggest we let the beloved guardian's own words answer that question.
Shoghi Effendi answered the question this way.
May I interrupt just a moment, Tony? You know, when Tony and I say Shoghi Effendi said, sometimes it's his own words, and sometimes it's his secretary writing in his behalf. Both, of course, are equally valid, but I wanted to make that point.
These souls, covenant breakers, Shoghi Effendi writes, are not lost forever. God will forgive any soul if he repents. Most of them don't want to repent, unfortunately. Also, it has nothing to do with unity in the cause. If a man cuts a cancer out of his body to preserve his health and very life, no one would suggest that for the sake of unity, it should be reintroduced into the otherwise healthy organism.
That's very good.
On the contrary, what was once a part of him has so radically changed as to have become a poison.
I think that nails it down. Now, are there any questions about
it? Well, you've answered them all.
Well, beloved friends, let's have a break and talk about the victories of the faith. There have never been such victories ever before. Even those I told you about during our last recording session, they were nothing compared to what is happening over the entire surface of the world.
The study class on the significance of covenant breaking and the protection of the cause of Baha'u'llah will continue after a brief social intermission, during which our Baha'i guests will rejoice in the unprecedented number of new Baha'i victories which are taking place in all parts of the planet. The most interesting part is still to come. Our study class continues. It is being conducted by Hand of the Cause William Sears, assisted by Mr. Anthony Lees, a member of the Auxiliary Board for the Hands of the Faith in the Western Hemisphere.
One of the points made by some of the present covenant breakers, enemies of the faith, is that there is a great catastrophe coming, and that there will be gigantic floods and all that. When we hear such stories, sometimes repeated by the believers, what should we do?
Don't build an ark.
I like that. That's funny.
Yeah. There won't be a flood or a catastrophe.
I mean, I don't know a thing about it, and neither does anyone else. Those who have set specific dates have always been disappointed, and their followers disillusioned. Our job is to carry on the work of the 9-year plan.
Yes.
That we can do. The real catastrophe, obviously, is a spiritual catastrophe. To think that we, the American Baha'is, have been given this world redemptive teaching mission, and we still get ourselves sidetracked with these unimportant things over which we have no control.
Yes, but catastrophes have been mentioned in the writing.
Well, of course there's going to be an apocalyptic upheaval sometime. That's not a Baha'i teaching. That goes back as far as Isaiah, Daniel, Joel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Christ. It didn't originate with Baha'u'llah or the Master or Shoghi Effendi. And even Christ himself said that only the Father knew the time.
Yeah.
In the Baha'i News of April 1950... Shoghi Effendi tried to get the friends to direct their efforts to teaching and not to lay undue emphasis on such things as catastrophes. He wrote as follows, I'm quoting, "We have no indication of exactly what nature the apocalyptic upheaval might be. It might be another war. But as students of our Baha'i writings, it is clear that the longer the divine physician, that is Baha'u'llah, is withheld from healing the ills of the world, the more severe will be the crisis, and the more terrible the sufferings of the patient."
That's right.
End quote. So you see, it's clear that our job is to teach and to teach and to teach and do all we can to bring Baha'u'llah's healing message to the world and not get sidetracked in those things that are in God's hands and not ours. If we don't do that, then that is the real catastrophe.
If we were firm in the covenant and clearly understood the covenant, we wouldn't be confused by such things.
Very true.
Well, let's try to stick to our subject from now on.
Okay, I'm all for that. I think that'd be fine.
Where do we begin?
Well, I suggest the book, The Baha'i World Faith, and also the compilation on covenant breaking, which you'll find in the old World Order magazines. Go back and dig in those, study them. They offer more than enough material for a complete summer school course on the significance of covenant breaking. Baha'u'llah himself warned, and you'll find it in those pages, and these are his words, that the company of the wicked covenant breakers changeth the light of life into the fire of remorse. So you see, from the founder of our faith himself, we received these warnings. Warnings which the Master and the Beloved Guardian urged us to obey and to apply without exception.
Or did the instruction to shun the covenant breakers come from Baha'u'llah also?
Baha'u'llah used even stronger language than shun. He said, no one should go near them. These are his words. No one should go near them, because their breath is like the poison that kills instantly. Right. Baha'u'llah, as well as the Master, warned the Baha'is not to be deceived because these enemies appear to be outwardly friendly. Baha'u'llah declared, quote, if you detect in any man the least perceptible breath of violation, shun him and keep away from him. Baha'u'llah forbade all association with the violators immediately for our own protection. Avoid such enemies, Baha'u'llah instructed, even though he may appear in the garb of piety.
I think it's helpful to hear those words of Baha'u'llah. Quite a number of the friends think that all these prohibitions against covenant breakers is something of fairly recent origin.
Yes, I know they do. But the truth is that covenant breaking is as old as the history of religion itself. In our day, the day of the Baha'i faith, for the first time, the founders of a religion left a written covenant as an historical document. And they also left written instructions to those who would safeguard and protect that covenant. The covenant was unprecedented. Its protection must be unprecedented. The Master, Abdu'l-Bahá, was particularly forceful in his instructions on this matter to those of us who live in the West, because this is the cradle of the administrative order. In his will and testament, which is the charter of this administrative order, Abdu'l-Bahá warned us in these words. Tony?
For so grievous is the conduct and behavior of this false people, the Master writes, that they are become even as an axe striking at the very root of the blessed tree.
Imagine.
Should they be suffered to continue, they would, in but a few days' time, exterminate the cause of God, His Word, and themselves.
Well, that's why the Master took such strong, direct action against them, like that. Once we know there is violation, there can be no debating about the matter. Should we do this? Should we do that? Before another drop of the poison spreads, they're cut off. Completely.
It is really an assault on the faith itself, isn't it?
With the clear intention of overthrowing.
It is indeed. Yes. But because of the wisdom of the central figures of our faith, and because of the very instructions we're discussing and sharing here tonight, all of these attacks of the enemy have been repulsed and frustrated. Way back in 1921, the Master warned those Baha'is in America exactly what was happening.
In America in these days, the Master wrote, severe winds have surrounded the lamp of the covenant, hoping that this brilliant light may be extinguished and this tree of life may be uprooted. Certain weak, capricious, malicious, and ignorant souls have been shaken by the earthquake of hatred, of animosity, have striven to efface the divine covenant and testament.
The earthquake of hatred. That's what the Master calls their affliction. What a term.
Yes.
And this is in his very last tablet to the American Baha'is. And there's more.
Abdu'l-Bahá says, quote, they have arisen against the center of the covenant, and every moment uttered a calumny. Every day they seek a pretext and secretly arouse doubts, so that the covenant of Baha'u'llah may be completely annihilated in America.
O friends of God, the Master wrote, be awake, be vigilant, be vigilant. And the early American believers were alert and vigilant to his instructions. And so the faith went from victory to victory as the power of these enemies weakened.
But there aren't any more of those old warriors of the covenant left, are there?
Well, you're right. You see, now an entire new generation of believers has arisen. And they have not shared the experience of those early Baha'is who had been so sharply aware of the meaning of covenant breaking, its significance, warned by the Master and the Beloved Guardian. We have all the essential instructions and all the authentic texts in our hands, but we've become so busy with our spiritual conquest of the planet and teaching that sometimes, unhappily, we forget the importance of this need for protection.
That's true.
Well, it seems to me that the story of the early victories would help the friends.
Yes,
well, I was just wondering about the wondrous figures of the Bab and Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá, as well as our beloved guardian who symbolized for us this fateful struggle between good and evil,
yes,
has passed away from history.
Yes, you put your finger on a good point there. Because they're gone, we've lost that close contact. We miss that love that flowed from them to us, that those warnings that came to us constantly. It's very important that we have that. But this is why those of us who are living in this day are now called upon by our Supreme Universal House of Justice to be justice alert. Abdu'l-Bahá repeatedly warned the faithful friends to beware of the sweet and honeyed tongue, his words, of the covenant breakers. He entreated the friends to avoid all association with such an embodiment of hatred, even, and these are his words, even though he may quote all the heavenly utterances and cling to all the heavenly books.
That's a terrible indictment, isn't it?
What?
Embodiment of hatred.
Yes, it's dreadful, but you notice that Abdu'l-Bahá doesn't say body of hatred. He says embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
It is the disease that is infectious and killing. We never hate the patient who has the rabies. We hate the disease. And if it is infectious like cholera, we isolate them at once and prevent all communications with them. This is the life-saving, spirit-saving, faith-protecting principle that we should have before us at all times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My limited experience has been that these covenant breakers are very insidious. They'll praise Abdu'l-Bahá with such love that it takes quite some time before you're aware of the fact that he's belittling the beloved guardian.
Yes. I see you catch on very quickly to their methods.
And as soon as you detected his method, I hope you had nothing whatsoever to do with him.
I certainly didn't.
Out right away. Good.
With a potential plague or epidemic threatening, I can see it's no place for kindness or sympathy.
Well, Abdu'l-Bahá said that to be kind to the wolf is to be cruel to the sheep.
Well, that subtle method of attack has been the pattern of the covenant breakers since the earliest days of our blessed cause, hasn't it, Bill?
Yes, it has.
I mean, to quote voluminously from the sacred text or those parts of the text which they adjust to fit their own purpose.
Oh, they're clever. Make no mistake about that. The covenant breakers quoted the Bab while they were trying to deny Baha'u'llah.
Mm-hmm.
They used the words of the Blessed Beauty while refusing to recognize Abdu'l-Bahá. They perverted the words of Baha'u'llah and the Master both in attacking our beloved guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't the pattern seem familiar in this day, whenever we hear about it? They quote all the figures of our faith, the Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Bahá, Shoghi Effendi, in order to try to deny the Universal House of Justice.
Yes. Yes.
They refuse to move forward with the covenant, don't they?
Exactly.
They get left behind, wandering about like a ship without a rudder. Their ego has deprived them of the most exciting and comforting thing about the faith, the covenant.
That's right. Covenant. And the ego is a subtle and sly serpent, the Master said. Oh, we're faithful to the covenant, they'll tell you, quite frankly.
Mm-hmm.
We accept the Bab, we just don't accept Baha'u'llah. Or we're loyal to the Bab and Baha'u'llah, they'll say, but we just don't accept Abdu'l-Bahá.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll swear they're firm in the covenant of the Bab, Baha'u'llah, and the Master. It's just the beloved guardian they don't accept.
Yeah.
Or they'll vow they couldn't be more loyal and devoted to the Bab, Baha'u'llah, the Master, the beloved guardian. It's just the Universal House of Justice they don't quite understand and deny. And by these protestations of innocence and partial loyalty, they seek to sow the seeds of doubt and poison the minds of the new and innocent friends.
Mm.
They attack the covenant on all sides, the Master declares, while protesting their innocence and claiming to be faithful. Let the Master's own words indict them.
Abdu'l-Bahá writes of these covenant breakers, quote, "They do not doubt the validity of the covenant, but selfish motives have dragged them to this condition.
Mm.
It is not that they ignore or are ignorant of what they do. They are perfectly aware, and still they exhibit opposition." Then the Master comforts the friends with these words, "The covenant is tumultuous and wide. It casts ashore the foam..."
The violation.
Violation.
I'm typing that wrong, Tony. I'm sorry, but that's what... They're like dead bodies.
Yes.
The sea won't accept a dead body.
And thus rest ye ashore. Yes.
That's
beautiful
wonderful,
words, really.
Isn't it?
I can see that it really takes more than one study class to truly grasp the significance and the great importance of the covenant.
It does indeed, far more, really.
But this has been a great help.
Well, we have to study, we have to meditate, we have to immerse ourselves in the waters of the covenant.
Yeah.
We can't overemphasize the importance, the beauty of it. Just as we seem to inhale a fragrance when we come in contact with the faith, in like manner, when we're firm in the covenant, we seem able to catch a scent of violation quickly. It's almost a physical thing.
And wouldn't the friends be just as wise to be as wide awake concerning the danger of their writings?
It's imperative that they are. In one of his very last tablets from his pen, translated after his ascension. Abdu'l-Bahá wrote that the Blessed Beauty Baha'u'lláh was well aware of the device of the enemies to poison the pure believer by circulating their pernicious writings. Baha'u'lláh said, quote, "If anyone comes to you with the book of the wicked violators, mm-hmm. put him behind you." Mm. Baha'u'lláh mm-hmm. described these covenant breakers as manifestations of Satan, who would try to befoul the sweet waters of the faith of the believers by every means of deception and ruse. Therefore, Baha'u'lláh warned, listen not to the nonsensical utterances of the manifestation of Satan.
Doesn't Satan mean, in a symbolical sense, the incarnation of ego and negation?
Yes, that's exactly what Baha'u'llah means, and he calls it nonsensical utterances. They're the very essence of denial and hatred. And in that same tablet, the Master showed his sadness at the gullibility of the friends in the West. In short, he said, the founders of this sedition, namely the violators of the covenant, are people whose aims are known to all the friends. Yet, O glorious God, they are deceived by them.
Well, that's probably why Abdu'l-Bahá lays so much stress on a study of the covenant and on our need to be firm in the covenant, wouldn't you think?
Well, the beloved guardian said it was impossible to overemphasize the importance of this instruction. You see, blinded by their own ambitions and false doctrines, Abdu'l-Bahá warned us, these covenant breakers will try to disrupt the Baha'i communities by using lies, deceit, and fraud. Mm. And yet he gives us a wonderful promise if we will be firm. And these are his words.
If the friends remain firm in the covenant, will there be any misunderstanding among them? No, by God. Except those who would have an evil intention and are thinking of leadership and of forming a party. These souls are at present among the pioneers of violation. This is because of their personal motives, for they thought of securing leadership and wealth. End quote.
Beware, beware, the Master said to the West, lest anyone should speak from the authority of his own thoughts or create a new thing out of himself. Mm-hmm. His Holiness Baha'u'llah shuns such souls.
Well, if we read the story of religious history correctly, this curse of covenant breaking did not begin with the Baha'i faith.
By no means. The people of Moses, the people of Christ, the other messengers of God, they all suffered likewise from this poisonous blight. What does the Master tell us about that, Tony?
Well, Bill, in short, the Master writes, from these holy utterances and those of His Holiness Christ, it becomes clear that bad associates bring about infection of bad qualities. It is impossible for a man to associate and befriend a leper and not be infected. This command is for the sake of protection and safeguard, end quote.
You see, spiritual leprosy races like a contagion if not arrested. And this is why the most important part of protection is prevention. Beforehand.
Yes. From the words you quote of Abdu'l-Bahá and Baha'u'lláh, it seems important then not only to shun the person of these violators, but also to avoid, like the plague, their writings as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we should indeed. We said something about that before. The Master warned against this himself. He cautioned us not to be deceived by the age-old methods of the covenant breakers. Mm-hmm. Every day, he said, I'm quoting now, every day, he said, they wrote and spread a pamphlet opposing Baha'u'lláh. Caused trouble and perplexity among the people. They inflicted the greatest injury and cruelty, yet they counted themselves firm in the covenant.
One of my friends who was quite interested in the faith asked me if this avoiding the covenant breakers correspondence wasn't something like having a list of banned books and forbidden reading.
No, not at all, really. You see, no soul is forced to do anything. We try to attract the heart, Baha'u'llah said, and not enforce the mind. And it's very important to understand that we're talking here about covenant breakers, mm-hmm. not those who oppose or attack the faith who are not Baha'is. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We try to have contact with such people and help them understand that we're friends, not enemies. People of other religions and beliefs and shades of thought, however different, even opposed to ours, these we associate with love and fellowship. Mm-hmm. Covenant breakers are those who have accepted the faith, then denied it, and now rise up to try to undermine and destroy it. And even these, when the news of their defection is first heard of, even these are approached with love through the authority of the World Center. We take every step we can to save them, to make every effort to talk to them, to win them back, help them to understand. Only when they persist in their views, only then are they declared covenant breakers. No people in religious history have been so lovingly and patiently dealt with before they were shut off from the community. And then it was only for the protection of the friends and not a punishment. It was to preserve the wholesome purity and security of our wonderful faith.
Every hour, the Master says, and I'm quoting him, they contrive new intrigues and fraud and bring forth new calumny. Notwithstanding this great oppression, they